ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Hey folks, welcome back to another week of Wrecking Your Racing. This is the Gas Man with my co-host,
Lugs.
Hey Lugs, how's it going today, buddy?
It's going good. How about you?
Fantastic. And do we have an episode for you? Actually, you know what? I'm excited about these next couple of weeks. It's going to be really good for the fans.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start. We've just got so much to talk about.
Yeah, and I don't know what we should tell the fans or just kind of leave them on the edge on some exciting news coming this way.
Let's make them wait till the end.
Okay, that works. Wait till the end for special news.
Make them work for it.
So this week, Logs and I attended festivities at Daytona, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about. So fans, as always, thank you for joining us. Thank you for telling a friend. Thank you for telling your family. And just telling everybody to listen to us.
Yeah, we've really taken off lately on Facebook. So thanks to the fans. Not sure, you know, if there was one specific thing that made our Facebook jump. But, you know, thanks everybody.
Yeah, talking about Facebook, one thing I want to add is go on there, like us, like our page. There's a post on there. Share that post and like that post. And it gets you a chance to win some freebies. We're going to select three people to win some freebies.
A week from tonight, right?
Correct. So our next episode, we will draw those three names.
Which will be next Wednesday. Yep.
So fans, again, welcome back. Thank you. And as always, we're going to start off with our wonderful Busch Light, the official beer of NASCAR.
Had a few of these down in Daytona.
A couple. One or two. One or two. And folks, we're trying some new equipment this week, so if we sound good, let us know. If we sound horrible, let us know that too, so we know if we need to switch back to our old equipment or what we need to do.
Cool. So, I know we always shout out to the fans, man, but I want to give a shout out to a couple racers, a couple race teams. I'm just going to throw it out there. We got the pleasure of meeting Bubba Wallace.
Yeah, we did.
One day. I just want to give a shout out to him, saying thanks. He was gracious enough to take a picture with us.
And gracious enough for me walking up to him. Hey, Mr. Wallace, can I get you a picture with you?
Yeah, Gasman basically cornered him in Hooters.
I did.
Yeah, I'm guilty of it too. I was right there by his side. But it's funny, give you a little backstory. So we got to the track. This was Friday. We got there probably, 10, 11 o'clock,
I think. Yeah, I'd say probably about 10.
And we go through, we see some of the trackside festivities, everything's cool, and then we see some storm clouds rolling in. We're like, man, we need to get somewhere. We were staying probably 20 minutes from there, so we didn't really want to drive back to where we were staying. It's like, oh man, there's a Hooters over there. Let's go. We'll go hang out there in the patio and have a couple drinks and get some food and whatnot. So we go over there and, sit down. The waitress comes up. She's like, hey guys, what can I get you, blah, blah, blah. We start a little conversation, and Gasman here is like, so are you a NASCAR fan? And Gasman, what was her response?
Maybe. That's kind of the reaction we got from most people that were working in the area down there.
Yeah,
it was, like, I am today because you're here, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So she's like, no, you know, kind of whatever, blah, blah, blah. But there's a NASCAR driver inside, and mind you, Chase Elliott's car, display car, was sitting right there in the parking lot, display car. They had tons of merchandise for sale and stuff, so they were pushing that, because he drove the Hooters scheme this weekend, obviously. So we're like, oh, is there any way it could be Chase? I kept an eye on the Hooters page all week, hoping that he was going to be there signing, so that maybe we could catch him, but I never saw anything, so I'm like, man, I find it hard to believe that it's Chase because I didn't see anything online. And so Gasman's like, who is he? Who is it? Who's in there? And she didn't know.
She had no clue.
Yeah, she had to go ask another waitress. So she comes back. She's like, Wallace?
Yeah. You know,
and in my mind, I'm like, what, Rusty? Like, right. I don't know, like Bubba. I
Steven?
Always just refer, yeah. Yeah, I always refer to Bubba as Bubba. You know, yeah. I sometimes forget his last name's Wallace.
Right.
So she's like, Bubba Wallace? Or like, oh, okay, well, like, we're going to be right back. So we just leave all of our stuff on the table.
And I asked her to clarify, because in my mind, I'm picturing, like, sitting down, signing autographs. There's a line of people. Mm-hmm. So to clarify, I'm like, so is like, is he signing autographs? She's like, I don't know. He's just in there. I'm like, so he's literally just in there. She's like, yeah. Like,
she's like, okay. She's like, he's taking pictures of people. So that's when we went in there. And he was standing at the bar just waiting basically to get his to-go order.
Yeah.
And
we were creepers.
Yeah, we were creepers. But you know what? I'm sure there had to have been other people in there. I didn't see anybody, any other.
Yeah. And when he left, he like darted out the door.
Yeah.
And to his Impala, looked like a rental car.
Yeah. And one guy did grab him on the way out and got a picture with him. So we weren't the only ones. But I know there were some waitresses taking pictures with him too. But
yeah,
it was just funny.
Tell the story about what that one waitress told us.
Which one?
The one who thought he was a weirdo.
Oh, yeah. One of the waitresses. Thought he was a creeper asking the girls for pictures. She had it all back. She had no idea who he was.
Yeah, she had no idea that they were asking to take pictures with him.
Yeah, so she was trying to avoid him. She thought he was going around asking all the Hooters girls to take pictures with him. Little did she know, he's a famous stock car driver.
Yeah. So, yeah, like Lug said, Bubba, thank you very much. It was very nice of you. I even shook your hand and called you Mr. Wallace.
Yeah.
Just try to be polite because I was interrupting your lunch. But anyway, thank you very much. What other kind of shout-outs do you have there, Lugs?
I want to give a shout-out to Boyer. We went to his Q&A, and he was really cool and laid back and took time to you know, take
answer
questions.
Answer any questions.
Answer
both
any
of
our
us.
Questions.
Yeah, but actually both of us had questions answered.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool to talk to him for a minute and kind of pick his brain and stuff. And
I
noticed your shirt.
Yeah, I asked like who he has his biggest feud with. And his answer was everybody hates Kyle.
Yeah,
and kind of have to agree with that. And my shirt kind of echoed that.
Yeah, that day, Gasman was wearing the Taylor Swift Kyle Busch shirt, so he had to kind of point that out. And he said, "Oh man, you really don't like him."
Yeah, yeah. Fun times. And there's a girl sitting right behind us, a little 7-year-old girl named Charlotte, named after the Speedway. And she had a poop emoji hat.
Yeah. She's like, hey, will you sign my hat?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'll get it before I leave. So he goes over there after the Q&A is done. He's like, this is what you want me to sign?
Yeah, yeah. He had to get a picture to put it on Twitter.
Yeah, so guys, go look at that. Go look at his Twitter. It's on his Twitter.
And that's a little 7-year-old Charlotte. She's a sweet little girl.
And FYI, my question, I asked him, I said, what did you think about NASCAR's call on Justin Haley for the Xfinity race the night before? And I didn't even get the question out of my mouth, and he's like, crap!
Yeah, yeah, bullshit! Yeah, yeah, he's very honest, very genuine person. He did make a deal with us that if he won that race, that we were all going to come back, meet again, and drink some beer.
Yeah, and I really thought there for a few minutes, with about 10 to go.
Yeah, there's a possibility.
There's a possibility we were going to be going back and hanging out with Boyer. And I really think he would hold true to his word, too. It might have been 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning before he made it back there.
You know, we'll wait for him, wouldn't we?
But I bet he would have showed up.
Yeah, that'd been awesome. That'd been awesome. So, any other driver shout-outs or anything?
Well, I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit more in detail about the finish and everything and results, but JTG Daltrey Racing and Casey Kane, they both had very strong runs. Casey was up there contending for the win with, you know, 5-10 laps to go, and AJ Allmendinger and Chris Buescher finished 3rd and 5th, I believe. So just a big shout out to those guys. I know that team needs a shot in the arm and a good boost, and I was glad to see that they were able to get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk about this more in depth here in a few, but essentially there was a whole lot of back of the pack people contending for the win this week. It was really nice to see.
It was
my first trip to Daytona. Super awesome weekend. It was,
did not disappoint.
No, I mean, our first day there, we got to see Dale Jr. You know, and we weren't that far from him, honestly. Yeah. And we were probably on TV, at least our back of our heads was on TV probably several times.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, the writing on the back of your shirt, that was probably seen by quite a few thousand people.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it on air.
Do you want to share what that was?
No, I do not. Okay. I do not, yeah. So, a couple other things. We do want to call out some fans. Down there, we had conversation with many, many, many people.
Really good, true, passionate fans of the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And they ranged all over the place in age. They ranged all over the place in fandom. they ranged all over the place and what they thought that the sport currently is sitting at. So I'm going to call out some of the fans that we talked to. If we don't mention you, I apologize. We talked to so many people. We honestly needed a notebook. We should have asked names and had a notebook with us, and we did. That's a learning opportunity for
Message us, and we'll shout you out on the next one.
Yeah, and yeah, send us an email. You know, maybe remind us for a conversation, because we may have forgot. So wreckingracing@gmail.com. You can also contact us through our website, wreckingracing.com. And you can buy like Kyle Busch shirt on our website now as well. Thought I'd throw that out there. So a couple of our fans that we talked to. We talked to a couple of ladies that meet every year in Orlando area, Daytona, to go attend the race and meet with each other. One woman's from Connecticut and one's from California. So opposite ends of the country, they meet together at the race every year. Super sweet ladies. Ran into them a couple times, talked to them a couple times. Great, great ladies. We actually were watching qualifying on top of the pits. At top of the garages, I apologize, in the fan zone. And we start talking to a man and a woman. The man is from Ontario. The woman is from Phoenix. Again, great conversation. True fans of the sport. Poor lady had taken some kids to Disney, and she was like fed up with kids. I don't blame her. She'd been all week at Disney, and now she's spending at least one day at the racetrack. So good for her spending time with her family, but good for her that she got away a little bit to watch some racing. I did call out one guy. He's wearing a Chevy Performance shirt, and he was standing at the Ford Performance trailer buying merchandise. So I called him out for that. And it actually, jokingly, it turned into a great conversation.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Yeah, he talked about he is old school. He hates stage racing. He wished to get away from that. He's actually one of those people we talked about who have kind of left the sport. He came back for this race to watch it with his son, whose son lives in Baltimore. But essentially, it's kind of the same issue we talk about every week, is that why are people leaving the sport? And he kind of reminds me a lot of my dad in a way, as in the same kind of mentality. Old school, should go back to the way it was in, you know, 95, 98 type era. You know, get away from stage racing and all that stuff. And that's exactly what my dad says, too. So, and we actually ran into some fans in the parking lot that are actually for stage racing, older school people. So, I mean, it's such a mixed dialogue down there. I mean, it was never the same story twice talking to people. The only story you heard over and over and over was the hatred for Kyle Busch.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I saw more Kyle Busch fans than I thought I would see.
No, true. You either loved him or hate him.
Yeah, exactly.
There was absolutely no in between. Yeah. And there was when people hate him, they made sure you knew it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, we definitely heard that in driver introductions. but, true. You know, nonetheless, I was surprised by the amount of Kyle Busch fans down there, actually.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question, Lugs. Do you feel that my shirt got us some conversations?
Which one?
My Kyle Busch shirt.
Oh, yeah, by far. That was the most popular one. Yeah.
Yeah. We got stopped on that one several times and started a conversation about it. Well, there's a couple other fans I want to talk about. You know, Matt and his dad from Cincinnati, we talked to them on a tram riding back to the front of the track.
Yeah, Friday from night. Cincinnati area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, hey to them. Matt's name was easy for me to remember. I know a couple of Matts, so that really helps out me know someone with a name like that. They kind of stick with the other than that, I really forgot people's name. There is one person's name that definitely made sure I remembered. I'm jealous. Little punk kid. Just kidding. He's a super sweet kid, not a punk at all. His name is Mark. He was telling us a story about him and his dad were telling us a story about a couple years ago. A certain team owner befriended the family and basically took Mark behind the scenes, and they got to stay in the driver's lot for the weekend. Went in the pits, everything. Just the stories he was telling about the exciting, just like the access he had, is like he was like a driver's or owner's kid himself.
Yeah.
So Marcus, did you remember how old he was? Probably 9, 10?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm super jealous. And I told him that. I was super jealous that he got that experience. I definitely never had.
Yeah, but how cool is that to get that kind of access?
Yeah, good for him. And like I was explaining, is that where NASCAR is today and how kid-friendly it is, how kid-centric it is awesome. Because when we were kids, it was rough and tumble. It was party atmosphere. You know, it's kind of When it became bigger, and it definitely...
You can still find that.
No, you absolutely
but,
can.
But yes, it's a lot more kid-friendly.
But being a kid gets you... I mean, we've seen it in the fan zone. You're a kid. You got access to everything. Like, the drivers basically only sign autographs for the kids, which is fine. I was okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we ran into Chase Elliott. We ran into Alex Bowman. Both after the poll award. Mm-hmm. They're heading back to the media center. We were standing right there when they walked past. And they stopped and signed for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, they didn't stop and sign.
Right.
And I'm not going to fault them for that. They were busy, had to get to the media center, but they definitely took care of the kids.
Yeah, yeah. Even in Menard too. We saw Menard.
Yeah, and, that was kind of funny.
He was dressed. He wasn't in his driver's uniform. He was in his plain street clothes, and he walked right past me, and I said, hey.
Like, yes, hey, man. Is that Paul Menard?
That was Paul Menard right there.
They're looking, like, kind of running behind him a little bit just to look. Yeah, it is. Holy smokes.
And we didn't chase him down or anything, but I watched, and other people recognized him, and he stopped and signed for him. Yeah. So it was cool, him.
True, but there was a lot of people who didn't recognize him and walked right past him, too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think he was trying to keep a low profile at that point.
Other than he was wearing a shirt with his face on it.
Was he?
He was wearing a Paul Menard shirt, and nice. I'm pretty sure it had his face on it. All right, so enough about all the glamour and glory from the weekend. Let's talk a little racing. So we'll start off with Friday night racing because, well, we have to. It was very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I want to talk about in regards to Friday night was my disappointment. And, Lux, you probably know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, the attendance.
Yes, the attendance. So, Lux, we sat pit out, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And in our area... Let's say, let's take a radius of 100 foot around us. How many fans were in that 100 foot? Two?
Yeah, I was going to actually say a dozen, and that was way more yeah, on the higher end of...
Yeah, I think there might be a dozen all of the right side of the track.
It was sad to see, honestly. But you know what? I know you're going to talk about it a little bit more, but... There was a lot of rain that day, and I think that scared a lot of fans off.
And I'm hoping that's the case. I really do. I really hope that's the case. Don't know, but I hope so. So the actual race itself, I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
And not only was it fun, the ending it gave us was memorable.
Yeah, that's true.
Definitely will remember that forever.
Yeah, so let's talk about that.
So I'm sure everybody here's already seen it, but if you haven't, definitely... YouTube it, find it on the internet, because the pass that was made for the potential to win that race was amazing.
Yeah. What we thought was a battle between Elliott Sadler and Kyle Larson.
There's a driver that came out of nowhere. Yeah, he is from nowhere. Nobody knows who he was until this moment.
Turn four coming to the checkers, yep.
Yeah, he drove from the top of the track to the bottom of the track and actually was going to whip the ass of both Elliott and Larson.
Yeah, yeah.
He flew by him, Made a hell of a move. And unfortunately, his tires went below the yellow line.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hold on a second. Okay.
Here we go. Soapbox.
We beat this to death over the weekend, so I'm not going to go over it too much. And I know everybody's saying, he went below the yellow. He went below the yellow. Yes, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. It's at what point he went below the yellow. Okay. So he was inches ahead of Larson and Sadler before he went below the yellow.
Mm-hmm.
So at what point has the pass already been made?
I can't answer that, but Steve O'Donnell could probably bring you a rule book.
Yeah, Steve O'Donnell, a jackass. So, and Keselowski kind of mirrored the same sentiment that I do, and Steve O'Donnell said, I'll bring you a rule book, Brad. So once he makes that, once he gets ahead, to me the pass is made, officially. Maybe it's a scoring loop, but then we don't have scoring loops that late into the race. I mean, you have the checkered flag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the next scoring loop for sure, I would
so
say.
In that case, do we not count passes unless they're at the scoring loop?
I don't know.
For stats? I don't. Here's what I'm getting to is that in my eyes, he made the pass before he went below the yellow. Therefore, he did not advance his position. Therefore, he was not out of the rules. He was within his limits.
We talked about this. I don't envy NASCAR's position, being in that position. I know it's
tough.
A tough call. And would it have been good for Justin and good for the sport for him to get that win? Absolutely. But we all know that that's been, no pun intended, a gray area.
Yeah.
And some drivers have been on the good side of it, and some have been on the bad side of it. So it sucks for Justin. There's no way around that.
It does suck. And I'm not, like, horribly mad about the Indian or anything like that. I get it. I understand it. I just, that's my devil's advocate moment, my two cents worth with it, is that I personally think Justin should have won the race based on my argument there, not just because I wanted him to, which I did, out of the outcome, I wish he had won it. But it is what it is. I agree. NASCAR's kind of putting a... Did they jump to a conclusion kind of early, though? It was pretty quick.
It was pretty quick. They were both doing donuts, which, if you remember, Justin was the first one to do donuts, and I was like, don't you dare, man.
You called him out.
And then right after that, here comes Larson spinning through the grass. I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be interesting.
But Justin was very respectful about it. Definitely down on his luck. You know, he was kind of sad and a little depressed telling, but very respectful about it. And you have to applaud the kid. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's a kid. And you definitely have to give him a pat on the back for the effort he put in.
Yeah, but what's interesting to me, one other takeaway, was like when they finally made the call that Larson won it, the amount of fans that were excited. Like, the fans that were there in the stands seemed to be in favor of Larson winning. But when we went on Twitter that night,
it was a complete opposite.
Complete opposite. So it was interesting to me that they were completely on opposite ends.
Yeah, I agree. It was it was a neat reaction being there and then seeing the emotion afterwards when people were like, oh yeah, Larson won. And it's like, oh, fudge, Larson won, dude.
Yeah.
Should have been the other guy. You know, you can almost see that change in emotion in people's faces and stuff. Definitely very interesting, and again, awesome weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, any other notes on the Xfinity race before we move on to Saturday?
I think that's all I've got for Xfinity.
Okay, yeah, my biggest takeaway was just the fans in the stands, and I'm hoping it was weather-related.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
I have a feeling it's more than that, but that's what I was hoping. So, moving on to Saturday, obviously, we'll go ahead and throw it out there now because everybody probably already knows, Erik Jones got his first victory of the season. Congratulations.
With the mullet.
Yeah, the mullet power.
What a beautiful mullet.
Congratulations, Erik. It was a hard-fought battle, and Recky Stenhouse was like...
And attrition.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Recky
Stenhouse Jr.
Yeah, Recky Stenhouse. Mm-hmm.
So Ricky, if you don't know this, Recky Stenhouse was, let's put it this way, when he finally left the race and he's walking back to his trailer, he had to have a police escort.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding about that or being joking about that. He literally had to have a police escort.
I saw the footage.
So definitely, I feel bad for him. I know he didn't mean to do that, any of that.
No.
But... Damn, it still looks bad, right? I mean, it's kind of...
Yeah. I mean, anytime you're involved with that many incidents, it takes out that many cars, absolutely.
And not just that many cars, that many contenders.
Absolutely. So, a funny stat I read today, 34 out of 40 vehicles in that race were involved in a crash or spin.
That's crazy, because I thought it was going to be 40 out of 40.
yeah. But still, six
so
cars.
So, what's the six cars that didn't?
I don't know. I'd have to seriously go back and look at...
I mean, it would have to be somebody running, like...
Honestly, I think it was Buescher. Buescher was clean all night.
He ran strong for a while, too. Without even with the some contenders still in there, he ran very well.
And
McDowell as well.
Yeah, until he crashed out. Yeah. I think AJ kept it relatively clean. He might have gotten a little bit of, you know, beef scratched up.
What about Truex?
Yeah, Truex was probably one of them too. So, yeah. So I mean, there was just a few, but
I mean, hell, Bubba Wallace was running like third with half a car.
Yeah, the whole right side was just cleaned off.
I did not see him after that wreck. I thought for sure he was either going to be out or just be back of the pack runner. But he's actually competitive with that car. I couldn't believe it. So good for you, Bubba.
So talking about the carnage, since we're on that right now, how does Stenhouse mend this? Does he reach out to the drivers? What would you do in that situation?
Oh, man. First, not do it.
It's easier said than done.
I know. I mean, you watch me drive on the video games, right?
Yeah.
I think you almost have to make a public apology. Because you're not just apologizing to the drivers.
Well, there's, I mean, you're 30 drivers you got to apologize
to. Well, I mean, you have a vast majority of them, but you're apologizing to their fans. Because... Lugs, what we seen all weekend was Chase Elliott, right?
Yep.
I mean, the fans down there, even the non-Chase Elliott fans were saying that Elliott was going to win this race.
Yeah, or wanted to see Elliott win it, yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of, I mean, there was, it was like 99% of people wanted to see Elliott win this race.
Mm-hmm.
So the way he dominated qualifying, yeah. everybody thought he was going to.
Absolutely.
So when he was taken out of the race, it was like disappointment on so many levels with the people in the stands. So I think he almost has to apologize as much to the fans,
yeah.
especially Elliott fans, as
put
much
a tweet
as
out there and be done.
Yeah, I mean that's in today's world, that's the easiest thing to do.
So it's funny, I was actually watching before we recorded this podcast episode, NASCAR and NBC's NASCAR America. It's every day.
Is that the one we were on?
4 o'clock. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So Dale Jr. was on there today. I think they call it Wednesdays. He comes on there and commentates on Wednesdays for the episode. But he said 2009, he cleaned out Brian Vickers at the Daytona 500. And basically, Brian took out like half of the field. And he said, man, he's like probably the stupidest mistake I ever made, the biggest mistake I ever made in a race. He's like, but... He's like, man, you know what? You got to eat crow and reach out and apologize. He said, because if you don't, other drivers are going to bury that down inside.
Right.
And they're going to, you know, keep it on their sleeve.
Their sleeve or their sleeve?
Sleeve. Sleeve in future events, you know, retaliate, whatever the case is. He said, you know, Stenhouse needs to eat crow and get on the phone and start calling people up. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. I mean, a couple other things from the race. I don't want to beat Ricky Stenhouse with the dead horse or whatever, right? Beat a dead horse, whatever. Yeah. I don't want to beat Ricky with a dead horse. That'd be kind of weird. Yeah. So I apologize about that misspoken analogy there. But anyway, so Chase looked like the favorite. Ricky spun so many people. Let's talk about the one other person involved with an incident that kind of stood out to us.
Keselowski.
Yes, exactly where I was going. Keselowski. So, is Ricky technically caused it?
But
he's the one that did the contact.
Was really upset with Byron.
Yeah, he was. So he was saying Keselowski was saying that Byron threw a bad block. Instead of running through Byron and spinning Byron out, he let off the gas, which caused Stenhouse to get into him,
yeah.
which is kind of understanding. You're going 200 mile per hour that close together.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I agree that he probably shouldn't have left off.
Yeah.
Or let off, excuse me. But Byron, you're still young, dude, learning. What do you do in that situation?
You're outside the 16. You're a rookie trying to prove yourself, you know, trying to get in the top 16. I don't think Byron did anything wrong. I don't think anybody did anything wrong. I think everybody's out there.
I think
there
it's
knowing...
kind of a product of the race.
It is, absolutely.
And maybe Byron could have been a little more clean about it and like came down a little bit smoother, but there's no car there. You had the right to do that.
Yeah. And then we'll talk about the next incident, again, involving Byron, Kyle Busch, and Stenhouse. Now, that one was all Ricky. Whatever you want to call
Ricky.
Him. So he totally drifted up into Kyle, and then when he hit Kyle, that forced him down into Byron, and the rest is history.
Yeah,
so
he has to
100% take the blame for that one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let's go ahead and just go on to another wreck. So whenever Bush wrecked out, I never seen so many fans cheer.
Yeah, they were pretty happy.
They were ecstatic.
Yeah, they were.
I mean, it was a lot. I mean, everybody's standing up. The amount of people that were throwing up middle fingers every time Ricky went around the track.
Oh, yeah.
So they cheered when he wrecked out, too, finally.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that was kind of funny as well.
I kind of felt bad for Byron, though. I was really impressed with him and what he was showing up front. And then when he
the
got
whole
up,
Hendrick team
yeah.
was strong.
And Jimmy, man, let's talk about Jimmy. Jimmy got up there and led some laps. I was astonished by the number of fans in the stands that were cheering for Jimmy. I'd never seen so many people cheer for Jimmy before, man.
That's like Jeff when he got later in his career. People actually cared about
him. Exactly. So you got to go through some slumps, man. But I guarantee you, by the time Jimmy's done, he's gonna be one of the favorites. I think it's just the kind of circle of racing, circle of life type thing.
Sure.
Because everyone's gonna go through hardships, and I think eventually, yes, Kyle Busch will go through the same thing, and some people will probably learn to admire him.
Yeah. So we talked about the small teams really capitalized. So I'll kind of run through some of the notables. You had, obviously, not a small team, but you had Eric Jones winning, Allmendinger third, Casey Kane fourth, Buescher fifth, Ty Dillon sixth, Matt DiBurrito seventh. Then you started getting to bigger names, and then here 11th. 11th was Jeffrey Earnhardt.
Yeah, props to him, man.
And Brandon Gaughan, 12th. DJ Kennington, who actually led a couple laps, 13th.
Yeah. Wallace, so, 14th.
Yeah, Ray Black Jr., 16th.
And don't leave out Reagan. Reagan, 15th. So.
Oh, yeah, Reagan, 15th. You're right. So, I mean, there are so many. This is a time for the small teams to shine. I'm glad they took advantage of it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So, good job to those guys.
So, you posted on our Facebook page a poll. Was it a good race? Did you ever go back and look at the results?
Yeah, so it was like 80% to 20%. Yes, it was a good race.
Yeah.
And what's your thoughts, Lugs? You think it was?
I thought it was a good race.
I thought it was a great race, personally.
I'm not a fan of the restrictor plate racing whenever it causes this kind of carnage. Which, there's no way around it, so I can't really complain. Because, I mean, we've had relatively clean races.
This season especially, we've had a lot of clean races.
I'm talking about specifically restrictor
plate. Oh, yes.
Because it is possible. We've seen it happen. There are clean restrictor plate races with this package, right?
Yes.
But I don't know if it's this ride height or everybody just knowing like this is maybe one last good shot to get in the top 16 or what, but... It was kind of the same thing with Daytona to start the season. It was carnage. So
I didn't like this so much that there's so much carnage, although it does add a little excitement. It adds emotional excitement because you can be like, oh, he's going to win. Oh, he's not going to win. Oh, he's going to win. Oh, he's not going to win. But what I'm excited about is that, to me, the reason why there was so much carnage is because the racing was so intense.
Yeah.
It wasn't just riding around. I mean, there was a couple moments through, you know, they all went single file. But overall, I feel like there's a lot of people trying to make that move, trying to make that pass, and that's what we want.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I had kind of written off the last five laps there, or that, at least that last green-white checkered. I've written off Truex as the winner.
Yeah, I think we're probably all guilty of that.
Yeah, so kind of no offense or anything against Truex, but it was cool to see. I don't think it quite panned out how most people thought it was going to.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just... common to think that what you see is one of the most dominant cars leading, that he's not going to give it up.
Right.
And thankfully, was it Buescher that pushed Jones basically to victory?
Yeah, Buescher, absolutely. Jones needs to share some of that paycheck with Chris Buescher because he owes that win to him from that last push, man. He sailed him out there in front of Truex.
Yeah, you know, we could go on for hours on this, and unfortunately, we're going to leave some stuff out because we don't want to spend all night talking about the same thing. We don't want you guys to be tortured for a whole hour, so yeah, we're going to try to keep it out.
You guys saw what we saw, but, you know, we'll keep it light there on that point and kind of move on. There was one more bullet point I wanted to talk about, and that was just basically the ratings from the race. Did you happen to see that?
Yeah, I did, actually. I actually wrote them down here. So, this is where... The results I've seen on Friday with the stands being so empty, I was hoping it would not translate to the cup race.
Yes. And what did you think about that?
Well,
do you think it did?
Yeah, absolutely. So looking at the stands just in front of us, how many empty seats were just in front of us?
Quite a few.
Quite a few. And we had decent seats.
Yeah.
Nothing super expensive, but decent seats. And there was a lot of seats around us open.
Yep.
So, I was kind of worried about this. So, I looked at the ratings, and here's, we had 4.4 million viewers at 2.7 rating. 16% down in ratings and 18% down in viewers.
Yeah. That's from last year.
That's from last year, which is already down to begin with. So, yeah. Not only was it down, let me bring up some other interesting facts.
And
for
you're
you guys.
Going into my territory. This is my thing.
Well, take over then.
No, I'm just kidding. It was the, I know where you're going with this. I saw it too. It was the least watched Daytona race since 1997, if you exclude rainouts or delayed races.
It tied with the same amount of viewers as 2015, where the race didn't start until after 11 o'clock Eastern because of rain.
Yeah, that's... I fault... I don't know what to fault anymore.
We keep coming up, we keep talking about what can we do to fix it, blah, blah, blah. There's no damn solution.
What's this race on NBC or NBCSN?
It's a good question.
Usually being a flagship, it'd be on NBC, but I don't know since we didn't watch it on TV.
We didn't watch it on TV. Yeah, I'm not really, honestly, I'm not really for sure. I don't know.
I'm wondering if that had something to do with it being on NBCSN versus NBC. If that race got those ratings on NBC,
You know why it was NBC? Because I also remember seeing that even though the rains were down, it still was the number one sporting event.
It was.
Non-World Cup. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Non-World Cup. Which, it seems like a lot, but really it's not. You know? I mean, if we had a 10 million viewership, that's one thing. But 4 million?
Yeah.
That's pretty low, folks. And like I said, we keep talking about ways to fix it. But they have to do something, and listen to us or don't listen to us. I don't have the solution. We don't have the solution. We keep talking about it. I wish we had a cure-all, and we don't. Mm-hmm. But one thing we heard time after time after time this weekend, talking to fans, was one, the loss of the drivers, Dale Jr., Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart to the sport when they retired, had a dramatic impact on the sport.
Yeah.
And that was not us saying that. That was almost every fan we talked to.
But you know what else was? And this doesn't really apply to this race, but we heard it a lot this weekend. Mile and a half tracks.
Yeah, get rid of mile and a half tracks. More short tracks. Yeah,
exactly. But, folks, this wasn't a mile and a half track. So
yeah. We talked to some people who've been coming to this race for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone that we talked to has been coming for a while said that when Dale Jr. was here, it was triple the pact, and as soon as he retired, it just dropped off.
Right.
And I am a Dale Jr. fan. I don't want to put that kind of burden on the guy. Is he the reason the sport was even lingering where it was, and then he leaves and it just drops off?
You brought this question up regarding to Gordon about.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. Where I was playing devil's advocate about, you know, the Gordon actually hurt the sport.
Yeah, because he made it so big.
And maybe
you could say the same thing about Junior.
Yeah, maybe Gordon made it big, and maybe Junior kept that momentum going. Maybe I don't know.
It's a part of you have two fans, right? And you have an Earnhardt fan, you have a Gordon fan, and when Dale Sr. passed, his son was able to carry that legacy, right? So yeah. To your point, he was able to continue that throughout the sport. So I absolutely kind of agree with you there.
Yeah, it just definitely was kind of it was kind of heartbreaking to hear that, because we shouldn't have to rely on those individuals, Gordon or Junior, the one carrying the sport.
No, I get it. Like, for me, obviously I was a Gordon fan, but I'm transitioning into, you know, some new drivers. You know, I can't say specifically that I have one driver that I absolutely root for.
Same here, because that's how
it was when I was Gordon. I was like, I was a Gordon fan. Yeah, you know, anybody Hendrick I was kind of okay with, or if they won, but, you know, Gordon was who I rooted for, and that's who I wanted to see win. I don't have that same passion now for another driver.
But I think within time
I could. And I think too many people are just too quick to give up.
Maybe that's an effect that really hindered us, is that people lost that emotional bond, therefore they just moved on. Because
mm-hmm.
regardless, we all have our driver, and we have an emotional bond with that driver. If we think we do or not, we do. When they wreck out, we get sad. When they win, we become ecstatic and happy.
Yeah.
So we have that emotional bond, and when that gets taken from us, it's like the NASCAR Oedipus complex or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have that emotional bond when they leave. How do we deal with that? Do we move on to another person, or do we? It's like a bad breakup. You know, you have this girl you really like. It's gonna take time.
Exactly. It's gonna take time, but you'll find somebody else.
Yeah, but so how do we mend those feelings?
Other fish in the race.
Yeah, there you go. So I'm just talking out loud here. I'm probably talking stupid to most of you, which like I only had one beer, I promise. But I'm just trying to understand where we can fill up that gap or that disconnect.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts. Email
yeah,
us,
please do. Like I said, we want to talk about this.
You know, we talked to a lot of fans this weekend, but anybody listening, let us know your thoughts on that. And yeah. Do you feel that way?
Yeah. So let's talk about our picks from the week. What was your picks for Daytona?
Oh, man.
Yeah, this could be bad for everybody. I doubt very few had Jones winning.
Right. So I had Chase. Obviously, that didn't pan out. And Stenhouse, that clearly didn't pan out. So I think my average was probably around 25th. Stenhouse was 17th. Elliott was 34th. So it puts me probably at around 25th average.
Okay. We're pretty close because I had Harvick who finished 19th and Almirola who finished 27th.
Yeah, so you're a little bit better than me there. But
yeah. I do want to throw this out there while we're thinking about being in Daytona. Our fan from Scotland, Dan, that emailed us suggestions on where to go and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, thank you very much. We definitely tried some of that. We appreciate the input. So yeah. Fans, feel like I said, always feel free to reach out to us and talk to us.
Yeah, we went to that 7-Eleven and a couple other spots. So.
Yeah, Ocean Deck. Yep.
So
you want to talk about Kentucky?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a couple news pieces before we get to Kentucky.
Okay, let's go.
Did you see while we were down there, the NASCAR Heat 3 was announced?
Yeah.
It was on the cover?
Yeah, sure did. The Hendrick team. Yeah. Not just one person, all four of them.
Toyota must not have bought out the cover this year.
Yeah, Toyota bought everything else.
Yeah.
We found that out at Daytona. Everything was Toyota.
Yeah, everything down there was Toyota. But that's good, you know, because at least somebody's stepping up to put some money into it.
Yeah, and maybe that's why we're hurting on the other manufacturers. Well, I guess you can't really see the other, just Chevy, essentially. Because Ford's doing fine.
Yeah.
But maybe there just wasn't enough money being pumped in from the manufacturers. I don't know.
Well, going back to NASCAR America, the episode today, Junior made the comment. He said, Hendrick knows what's hurting the Camaro, and they're working to fix it.
But okay.
He said they have it pinpointed. They know what's,
okay.
what's hurting the Camaro. And they're working
I
on
wonder
it.
What it is.
I don't know.
Share a little bit more. Don't leave us on
I
that.
Know. I was like, and?
Yeah.
And?
Yeah, okay.
And he didn't say it. So that goes back to him trying to be neutral probably.
Yeah, I'm sure.
In the booth. But so yeah, that's cool. New NASCAR Heat 3 game coming out. New cover. You going to get it?
I'm thinking about selling my gaming system, so probably not. I'll let you get it and I'll play with you.
Well, the cool thing is it comes with a $50 voucher towards a NASCAR ticket. So
yeah, it's not like they're really hurting to fill the seats. So
so it's, the game itself is $50, and you get a $50 voucher towards a NASCAR ticket. So
cool.
Essentially, I think that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Let's see here. What else? Chase posted this last night on our Facebook page, but Chase's Darlington throwback scheme was announced.
Yeah.
Looks pretty cool. Paying homage to
his cousin
Casey.
Yeah.
And also Kale Yarborough scheme for Paul Menard. That looks pretty sweet.
It does. It does.
Let's see here. You got anything else? I know Mountain Dew signed an extension, a sponsorship with Hendrick through 2020. It was specifically Chase Elliott.
Yeah, that is one of the notes I had. I also have a note that Ryan Newman is actually going to be driving a number 3 truck at Eldora.
Oh, that'll be cool. That's what, next Wednesday? It's a week from tonight.
Is
yeah.
it? Yeah, mm-hmm. It's going to be pretty fun. Maybe we can talk about it on the air. We'll see.
Yeah. Eldora is always fun to watch.
Yeah, next week, I'm going to leave a little cliffhanger right now. Next week might be pretty exciting.
It might be.
For some of us.
Or it could be really boring.
We don't know yet. It'd be really. There's some things in the work, folks. There's some things in the works.
Last news piece that I have. They officially took the Roval at Charlotte. It was going to be a 500-kilometer race, and they downscale it to a 400-kilometer race. So it is going to be officially a 109-lap event.
Wow. It is the longest road course on the NASCAR circuit.
It is. Did you see any of the
so
headlines
let's
from
let's talk
the,
about
the
Roval. Yeah, so a couple of things. One is that the drivers are not fans, it sounds like. There's a lot of wrecking and a lot of intrigue going on at the Roval.
Yeah, and they're making shortcuts. Like,
yeah.
They put in rumble strips and
so,
tire barriers.
Yep, going into turn 3, there's a little chicane that they put in to try to slow the drivers down. so they don't have too much speed coming out of turn four.
Which I don't understand why they were taking that, because that's no different from the bus stop at Watkins Glen. If you fly through there, you have to come to a complete stop before you continue.
So How would this be any different? The way I read it is the way the chicane was built, it wasn't deep enough on the side. So they were hitting it at just the right angle to keep going straight.
So they were going through the chicane.
They were going through the chicane, okay. But on the very far right. Then in the middle, it was all they were on the left. And then at the end, they were on the far right again. They were going in a straight line. Yeah, it's just the chicane wasn't built efficient enough. Yeah, and they just assumed the drivers were going to take the path. Drivers are like, nah, that's too slow.
Blowing through it. So in my mind, I'm thinking they're just avoiding it completely and blowing like through the bus stop at Watkins Glen.
Right.
Do you know what the bus stop is at Watkins Glen there, Gasman?
I do. It's my shortcut in the racing game.
And how does that normally work out for you?
It works okay for me, not the other racers. I usually plow into them.
You get black flag for doing it. Oh, man. Don't give up your little iPhone game.
Cause yeah, no kidding.
You'd be no good at iRacing.
I don't have an iPhone, by the way.
Anyway, so that's all the news I got. What do you got?
So, well, kind of referring back to Kentucky this week, Spencer Gallagher is going to be back from his suspension.
Oh.
So he went through the road to recovery program for his party in like 1999 incident. The question I have for you, Lugs, is that may be the quickest road to recovery program I've ever seen. It seemed like to me it was like super quick.
Talladega,
it must have been something minor. Like
Talladega was what, late April, early May?
Something like 2 months?
Yeah.
It usually seemed like a year.
I can't remember how quick AJ came back.
It wasn't that quick.
No, it wasn't, but I can't remember this specifically.
Yeah, either do I. It just seemed like it was really quick to me.
I agree.
It
absolutely.
Must have been something minor, like I said, a little weed or something. I don't know. A couple other notes. Kaz Grala is not going to be able to run in Kentucky due to a lack of sponsorship.
Yeah, that's some disappointing sad news, man.
Yeah, disappointing. He's he seemed like a very likable kid. Definitely puts everything. If you follow him on Twitter, you see that he puts everything he can into his racing.
Yeah, he's actually, I think he follows us on Twitter. I know he's liked quite a few of our posts. But
yeah. So Kaz, if you're listening, awesome. Good luck to you. I know you're gonna be back from New Hampshire, so good luck there.
Jesse Little.
Yes.
I just saw this on your note here.
Yeah. So Chad Little's son, Jesse Little, will be making a Cup debut at Kentucky.
Man, is he gonna be in the 23 John Deere car?
So I did post a picture of a John Deere car, but I don't know at what race that will be ran. It might be this race that the John Deere car is coming back. That was on Stenhouse. Yeah,
Stenhouse,
I apologize.
Stenhouse and Cup, but you know, I was just apologize. Being funny because.
Yeah.
Back in the late 90s, I had the 97? 97, yeah, when he was in Cup. The 97 Ford Taurus for Roush, sponsored by John Deere. And even the FFA when my dad still got that diecast.
Yeah. Poor guy. Your dad, I mean. That's pretty much all the news I have. A couple of quick notes. This kind of leads us up to maybe something that happens next week or the week after that. So, ARCA Series, Sheldon Creed won this weekend. Harrison Burton finished 6th. Natalie Decker finished 16th. Sheldon Creed is winning or is currently leading the series. Natalie is currently 7th. And Harrison is 17th, but he's only raced 5 ARCA races.
Yeah, 5 starts.
So. Out of 12. Right. So anyway, again, folks, that might be a little teaser for the next couple of weeks. I'll just leave it at that at this moment.
Yeah, definitely don't miss the next couple episodes.
Don't miss any episode, but in the next 4 weeks, it might be pretty important to listen.
Yeah, we just leave it at this. We made some pretty cool connections down in Daytona.
Yeah, so awesome things going on for us and a very exciting thing. So. Now let's talk about
a little more Kentucky.
Yeah,
so
Kentucky.
All 3 series are there this weekend. Truck Series tomorrow night, Thursday. If you guys are listening to this on a Wednesday, so Truck Series Thursday, Xfinity Friday, and Cup Saturday. So cool, fully loaded weekend for all 3 series. I kind of enjoy that when you've got all 3 the series at the same track for one weekend. That's cool.
Why not bring in ARCA and make it 4?
Yeah.
4 nights or a dirt track in the middle of the track and, you know, do a 4th night or something.
Yeah, could be. So Truex is the defending race winner of the Cup Series event. So interesting to see if he can defend that title. Also, funny tidbit. I don't know if you know this, there, gas man, but Donnie Baker's going to be down there at the Kentucky race.
Donnie Baker?
From the Bob and Tom show.
Yeah. Comedian guy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, just That's thought I'd cool. throw that out there.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, so I follow him on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. I can't remember where I saw it, but he said he was going to be there. He tweeted he was going to be the Grand Marshal, but I don't know that I believe that. But it is Kentucky, so maybe.
Yeah. You never know. Never know.
So let's talk about picks. Who you got?
So you're going to let me go first this week?
I can't remember who went last time.
Neither can I, but here's my picks. I took an obvious one and a not-so-obvious one.
So if we have the same... Let's make a new rule. If we both have the same picks, we have to pick different drivers.
Both of us?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, okay.
I don't know.
Who's your first pick?
My first pick is Kyle Busch.
Okay, so we disagree there.
Okay.
I picked Truex.
Okay, which obviously Truex is a good selection. However, the person I was leaning on, maybe choosing over Kyle Busch, was Keselowski. And here's the reason why. Keselowski has more wins at the track than anybody else.
Three wins there.
Yeah, and Kyle Busch's average finish is 5.84.
Trust me, I wanted to pick Kyle Busch. I did. I just didn't
You couldn't pull the trigger?
I couldn't do it.
Dark horse. My dark horse, and this is probably going to throw you for a loop here, Matt Kenseth.
Really? Yeah, he's got a win there, too.
Yeah, not only does he have a win, his average finish there is sixth. He's strong. He's one of the strongest competitors at that track.
He's going to be able to do that in a Roush car.
I'm hoping so. I mean, Ricky Spinhouse did really well at the Super Speedway, but although it was a Super Speedway. I think there's potential.
Okay.
So I think it'd be interesting to see him win.
So I picked a Penske car for my dark horse.
Logano?
Nope.
Ryan.
Now, you think I'm going to pick Logano after you're on your high horse with him every week? No.
Oh, yeah. I was going to bring up that Blaney. Truex finally passed him in points.
Yes. Thank you. Not that it matters, but...
Hey, where did Blaney finish last week?
Like last?
Yeah, it was last.
Because Spinhouse took out all of Penske in one crash.
Yeah. And I think all of Stuart Haas, too. He didn't take him out, but they were all damaged.
They were damaged.
Yeah.
But now he literally took out all of Penske. They were done. But, yeah, Blaney. So, Truex, Blaney for me. Gasman's got Kyle Busch and Kenseth. So we see how those picks work out for us next week.
Yep.
Cool, guys.
Exciting stuff.
That's all I've got.
Okay, you want to run down some points real quick?
Yeah.
All right, so obviously we have Busch, Harvick, Truex, top three. After that, we now have Clint Bowyer, and we have Eric Jones. And now Gibbs is the second team to have two winners between Busch and Eric Jones now. Kind of notables is that Larson's up to eighth in points. So now we got a Chevy moving up a little bit. And Eric Jones is already in the top 16 anyway, even without his win. He was sitting at 13th. So, I forgot Austin Dillon as well is up there for his win. But essentially, that knocks out Stenhouse Jr. So people outside of the top 16 is Stenhouse, Menard, Newman, Suarez.
These are just the points, not the playoff standings. Keep that in mind.
Right.
So these really don't matter.
Well, I've kind of made it match the playoffs because the only person out of the top 16 that would qualify would be Dylan. So, do we feel it's going to stay this way or do we think it's going to change more? We talk about this pretty much every week, and I think we've all agreed that it's pretty much staying the same.
Yeah, I think it's going to stay the same.
Okay.
I don't see Stenhouse getting back in it.
Yeah, either do I. So, anyway, that's where we're at in points. And we don't want to ramble on too long for you this week, folks. We had a super exciting week. You guys seen all of our posts on Facebook, Instagram.
If you didn't, go find them. Go look them up.
Yeah. Like so, them. How much do we elaborate on the next couple of weeks?
I don't want to elaborate too much.
Yeah. Just let this way. I'll leave this little nugget here. We potentially could have someone call in, maybe. We'll see about that.
That's true. Do you want to talk about your fill-in for next week?
Yeah, so next week, unfortunately...
My fill-in, I should say.
Yeah, so Logs will be leaving us next week to attend a meeting in a different city and will not be able to do our podcast with me. So if you guys remember back to, I think, episode 6, I believe it was, we had a co-host on that episode named Saka. And Saka will be joining me next week as my guest co-host. So, Saki, bring your A game, bud. You'll need it.
He has extensive, NASCAR history knowledge. So
he makes us look silly with his nerddom. Because he's crazy. Yeah. So, anyway, folks, we try to be professional. As a lot of times we fail, we apologize, but we love you anyway. Hopefully you enjoyed the podcast. Always reach, I'm not kidding, folks. Reach out to us, talk to us. WreckingRacing@gmail.com. Go to our website, WreckingRacing.com. Order a hat, order a shirt, order a window decal, whatever. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, we're in all the above. And always find us on your most popular podcast app. We love you guys. Keep telling your friends about us, and we will see you soon.
Have a good week.
And the checkered flag waves on this episode. Tune in next week to keep updated on all things NASCAR. Please like us on iTunes and follow us on Podbean. We'd like to hear from you, so reach out to us too at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you soon.